Dominus meus et Deus meus. My Lord and my God. Thomas wasn't present when Christ first visited the disciples after the resurrection. He wasn't there when Christ instituted the sacrament of reconciliation, a sacrament that he would soon need for himself. Thomas, in his grief and his doubt, did not believe the account of his brother disciples. He did not believe that his Lord had been resurrected as he had said he would be. I have no doubt that he wanted it to be true, but he couldn't open his heart to the possibility, and he was afraid of despair. Thomas was in a desert, dry, parched, seeking water to slack his thirst. But when presented with the fact that the oasis of the living water is alive, he discounted it as a mirage. The gospel gives us several points to ponder and to contemplate. Why wasn't Thomas there with the other disciples? Where was he? Did Thomas receive the message as the other disciples had, to gather and to wait for the Lord, but let his doubts get in his way? If Thomas had been there with the other disciples when Jesus arrived, would he have doubted? If any of the other disciples had not been there instead of Thomas, would they have had the same reaction? When faced with the reality of Jesus standing before him, and an invitation to place his hand in the wounds, as he had earlier insisted on doing, did he no longer feel the need to place his hand in the side of the womb of Christ for proof? The gospel never said that he accepted that offer to place his hand there, but rather he responded in faith, "My Lord and my God." And Christ mercifully rebuked his disbelief. On this Divine Mercy Sunday, we look to the wound in the side of Christ, which Thomas wanted to place his hand in so that he would believe. The wound which poured out blood and water upon the earth to wash clean our sins. The living water that leads to eternal life. As Christ washed the disciples' feet at the Last Supper, he instructed them that as he has done for them, so they must do the same. So we must do the same. As Christ poured himself out in love and mercy, we must do the same. Mercy received must be mercy given. In the light of Christ's mercy and love, to show us to us, how are we responding? Do we respond, "My Lord and my God"? The mercy that answered Thomas's doubt also confronts our own comforts. Because the Lord who shows us his wounds will one day ask what we did for his wounded members. In the parable of the sheep and the goats, Christ gives us concrete examples. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me. Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these my least brothers of mine, you did for me. Collectively, these examples are known as the seven corporal works of mercy. However, we must recognize that any of these corporal works of mercy are not just merely physical acts, but spiritual acts as well. By performing these works of mercy, we are first recognizing the inherent dignity of the human being, who is made in God's own likeness and image. Whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you've done for me. Being that it is Divine Mercy Sunday, and we have such stunning imagery from Thomas's interest in the wounds of Christ, and the image of the divine mercy where blood and water are flowing from that same wound and from the side of Christ, it seems fitting that we should turn our attention to the corporal work of mercy, giving drink to the thirsty. Now, giving someone water is meeting one of the most basic physical needs of the human condition. One can go without food, without clothing, without shelter, without health care, and without social interaction for an extended period of time, weeks, maybe even months. Deprive a human body of water, and that survival expectancy is measured in days. How are we pouring ourselves out for others? What drink are we giving others physically and spiritually? Are we making sure the drink we pour out for them is not mixed with gall? Are we looking to the basic needs of others? Are we able to recognize the presence of Christ in others? Are we even looking? And so mercy, before it is ever debated, before it's ever spiritualized, begins here.